You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight we talk about Ron Shelton's classic golf epic, Tin Cup.
Did you just call this movie epic?
Yes. Get excited.
You no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a pair.
Yes, I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead
fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes,
the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your host. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Kellen.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm good. You know, got the Costner vibe going. So
yeah,
feeling good.
Fun Costner's back.
Wait, he didn't go anywhere. It was Bill Durham last time. That was also Fun Costner, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
We also have with us director of photography, Mike Griggs.
If this qualifies as Fun Costner, sign me the fuck up.
Yes.
Oh, no. And we also have with us costume designer, Kristen Jones.
Hello, hello.
Hey, hey. And we have a guest with us tonight. We have Nick Roth, writer. Nick Roth.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome.
Hey, hey. And, before we get started, Nick, you got a movie, right?
It's on Tubi? It's everywhere on the internet, but I suggest Tubi. I think it plays really well with ads. It's called Hanky Panky. And it's a horror movie about a killer top hat and who fights a napkin for the fate of the universe. It's a comedy,
obviously.
We hope, you know. I mean, you do have to worry about hats sometimes.
I mean, people keep asking me why hats. I don't remember. Don't know why I did that. So I guess I fucking hate hats. I don't know what to tell you.
Some men wear hats. Some hats wear the man.
This is a movie where the hat wears the man.
Well, it's good to have you here, Nick.
That is super awesome. You guys can go check that out.
Hanky Panky.
And here we are talking about the 1996 golf film. Thank you, Jared, for picking this.
You're welcome.
Yes. Oh, we have Jared to thank again.
Yes.
What's better than two sports movies? Two Kevin Costner sports movies, he said.
Exactly, because Kevin Costner can play every single sport to its highest level.
I mean, he was playing this. Like, there are a lot of shots where you can see him being the one who's actually hitting those balls,
super impressive.
Those putts and all that shit. Like, yeah.
I just want to know what take that is. You know, when they're zoomed in on him and they pull back and they land and the ball just comes in. I was like, wow.
Yeah, like how much of that was like they faked with someone else actually hitting it from slightly off angle or some shit, and how much of it was actually him?
It's just like him hitting baseballs, man. He's just got it.
Definitely one shot in the movie where he hits it, and then it's like it pulls way out, and then like clearly someone just off screen throws a ball.
Oh, yeah. It comes in from the wrong angle.
Yeah. It's just like comes in all right angle sideways.
I was looking for all of those.
Especially the pelican shot. Like it should have came in at a front forward, like, you know, but the pelican shot comes in from like camera right, which is totally wrong.
They should have had a grip on top of the roof throwing that ball.
Yeah, fuck that pelican.
They're like, we only got the pelican there for this one take, guys. That's got to count. No, this movie's pretty fun. Like, more fun than I expected, honestly, for a golf movie. But, I mean, It's not a good movie. Let me qualify this.
Oh, shut up, Mike. This is an excellent film.
I almost got excited, goddammit.
This movie put a fucking giant smile on your face. I know it did. So, yes, it was a good movie.
No, it put a giant smile on my face in the sense of I was like, oh, no, now this is going to happen. Now this is going to happen. Now this is going to happen. How do I know that? Because we just watched this fucking movie last week. They just changed out the sports.
It's not the same movie.
It's the same fucking movie.
It's
Fuck
not
off.
The same movie.
Hold on. It's not the same movie because last week was a lot better.
There it is. There's the savage that I wanted to hear. Tell me.
Rene Russo was not fucking all the golf players. You know,
unfortunately, it's unfortunate.
She could have been. She could have. Yeah.
If she had just had like better goals, like she could have. Yeah.
Well, they all gave her their cards, and so she can like go on tour with them as their giant air quotes psychiatrist. She's like, I got a lot of work to do on this tour. I'm sure you do, Renee.
I don't know if I'm okay with Rene Russo playing an airhead.
Is she an airhead?
Is she an airhead?
I mean, she's kind of one, right?
Kevin Costner's more of an airhead in this movie. He's totally.
But she, you know, she's like I don't know, the female version of him, kind of, you know? They're like the yin and yang.
Oh, so like they're the same person? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, kind of, right?
Especially, well, that first scene, she definitely comes off as an airhead because she shows up for a golf lesson wearing a miniskirt. And which makes zero sense. And just all the dialogue seems very, I don't know, forced and there. But setting up the character.
Yeah, I don't think she's very good at it. I enjoyed her character, but yeah, I don't think she plays airhead very well.
I think the dialogue was younger than her in that scene, if that makes sense.
Interesting.
Wasn't she 40 when they filmed this? I mean, I've met some 40-year-olds who could not be, you know.
So that's what 40 looks like?
But, I don't think she plays it very well. You can tell she's intelligent. Like, that's the problem. Like, she seems really intelligent. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. This isn't, like, vibing with the character.
That was my issue with it. Was like I'm not seeing the reason why she's playing this character. Like it felt more like she was doing a character than it felt like she was inhabiting a person who had like complicated motivations and issues that she was trying to work through. You know, so like when she goes into that whole rant about like how she lost her business as a realtor because the market went like tits up or whatever. Like it was just like what are you talking about? Like, none of this fits with what you're doing. Like, you're just, like, giving me exposition dump so that we know why you're here and why you're...
There had to be a reason why she's in this shithole small town. She's the only therapist in the fucking 500-mile radius, you know, in this random place that just happens to have Tin Cup there, even though she's dating a golf pro. So why are we going to Tin Cup for golf lessons? Makes zero sense.
Because the contrived story needs
her to be with...
Yeah. Yeah,
Roy McAvoy.
Yeah, I thought that was funny too. Like, maybe you don't want to go to your partner for lessons, but like, wouldn't you ask him who he would think?
Yeah, and he's like, "Oh, I hate that guy." Like, we go way back. Yeah, you go there. That would be great. That'll totally help our relationship.
It's okay. He doesn't like old people or children or dogs. Apparently,
that's one ugly dog.
Like the big city psychiatrist doesn't know anything about golf, but here's this like down home Texas blue collar guy, but he's a golf pro. Right, like there's like the movie's asking you to get on board very quickly with a complete reversal from the actual like social status of golf at the beginning of the golf book.
That's a really good point that I didn't think about. That's a really good contextualization of it. Because golf is like a high end game, and usually the people who play golf like are very well off.
Yeah. It's the Rene Russo's character is like should know about golf and Tin Cup shouldn't.
That's true, but I like that it spans that a little bit. It kind of like brings out, you know, it's kind of like how Sideways did for the wine culture. It kind of gave wine to the masses. Same thing with like Tin Cup and even Happy Gilmore. It kind of opens up golf to the everyday person. It takes it out of the stuffy fucking country club, and it becomes like the everyman's kind of like, you know, everybody can play golf, you know.
It is the U.S. Open of golf movies.
I don't think that worked though.
You know, I think so? They make it too accessible, especially when he just goes and breaks all his clubs. I was like, what?
Well, all you need is a 7-iron, you know, you can play. Yeah.
look, I don't know anything about golf, so I was like, sure, yeah. I mean, that's, that sounds legit to me. I mean, everyone else is making it sound like this is insane, so maybe it is.
I mean, we had a whole ass scene where he, like, beats this other dude who bets him real money with a rake, a shovel, and a baseball bat. Like,
kills it, too.
So, like, he's clearly very talented. Like, they go through great lengths to establish that. So the whole, like, let me just break all my stuff just to prove a point is just... I don't know, it was a weird machismo kind of thing that I was just like, yeah, okay, I don't care about you anymore, dude. Like, what are you doing?
No, that was like building stuff between Romeo and Roy, you know? We were trying to get their relationship going because, you know, like Romeo always quits, you know, but he gets his feelings hurt.
He'll come back. It'll be fine.
Yeah. But also I love seeing Cheech Marin in this role. He's so good. He's one of my favorite characters of the whole movie. I just, man, he's on the top of his game in this movie. He really stands out as an actor in this.
Well, he's the only one who feels like an actual person.
It's not a caricature of.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
I think all of his Kevin Costner's friends in the movie, all of them feel pretty good. Everybody
okay,
that's
I'll
like,
that. That's a good
yeah,
point.
Hanging
yeah.
out at that driving range. They I buy all of them.
The fat guy, Earl. Yeah.
Poor dude having a hard time, man, carrying that. Beat his caddy. Oh, it's so tough.
I had to carry my own bag the last three holes.
He keeps looking back and like, you want me to take that? No, I got it.
Oh, it's fine.
I got it.
It's fine.
Third time he asks, he's like, yeah, you know what? You can take it.
So in the pantheon of golf movies, where does this rate for you guys?
Well, I mean,
there's been
how many golf movies
golf
are there? Are there? There's like Happy Gilmore. Know. There's the Caddyshack films.
Isn't there one with Will Smith that didn't he do it?
Legend of Bagger Vance, which I have hard passed every time.
Oh, come on, man.
He's come around.
Gotta watch that one.
Do you? I don't know, Jared.
Yes.
Do you, though?
No. Yes.
Jared, that's boring.
That's next week, people.
God damn it.
I didn't know I was getting into a sports thing happening. It's weird that I'm not available next
into
week.
Into what, August?
Oh, are we trying to watch Miracle because the Olympics are on, Jared? That's a winter movie. We're in the Summer Olympics.
Look, it's not about golf. It's about Kevin Costner's smolder. It's about Kevin Costner winning over everyone. It's about Kevin Costner hitting balls into the water. Your fucking heart swelling because I know everybody who watched this movie in this panel right here was like, holy shit, he's going to get it. If you weren't fucking rooting for him right there, man, come on. Like, it's the feel-good movie of the year.
I don't know. Nick's over there just shaking his head, looking really sad.
Not rooting. I did not care whether where he finished in the U.S. Open by the end of this film. For me, I just was like, oh, well. I mean, I know it was going to happen. I'd seen it before, but like, I didn't. There was no emotional investment for me in Kevin Costner's journey towards U.S. Open's superstardom.
So which drop were you like, I don't care anymore? Like third drop, eighth drop? Like he's just going to do this until he hits it finally, and it's going to be 20 minutes? Like,
I went in wanting to like this movie. Okay, so real quick, I have a personal connection, which is that my father has a vendetta against this film.
My dad fucking loved this movie when I was
young. My dad is a filmmaker and a golfer, and he actually made in the early 90s a TV movie called Dead Solid Perfect that is sort of appears on all the lists of like, what are all the golf movies that have been made? And usually somewhere on there, there's like someone who's like, oh, there is this HBO film that was pretty good. And so when this movie came out, my father to this day insists this film has just totally ripped off his movie, and Costner just like fully lifted it. His movie is about a kind of like down on his luck amateur guy in a sort of weird relationship who you know, unlikely wins the U.S. Open. It's the same movie. All right, they are the same. It's Randy Quaid instead of Kevin Costner.
Randy fucking Quaid.
It's pre totally batshit crazy.
Wait,
Randy Quaid.
That sounds amazing.
Wasn't Dennis Quaid like supposed to play Don Johnson's role in this movie, and he like passed on it or some shit? That's a level of connection that's a little bit ridiculous.
I don't know, but so my point was, I went in. I'm the first person who's like, Dad, you're full of shit. Kevin Costner didn't rip off your TV movie. They did, but who cares? But I went in ready to root for this because I sort of grew up with my dad always bitching about Tin Cup and how they ripped off his movie and how it was, you know, an inferior version of his HBO film from the early 90s. And so I went in like ready to be like, no, this is going to be great. And I came out on the other side kind of like, Well, I probably have to revisit my dad's early 90s HBO films to give him some a fair watch of that. But I just could not with Kevin Costner in this movie. I feel like the second he, okay, I'll be the screenwriter for a second. This movie did nothing to make me like root for or like this character. It just assumes because he's Kevin Costner that I'm already on board. And so if you're not coming to it just like, I love Kevin Costner, I love everything that he does, I love any sport that he plays, that's like the movie like makes that assumption. He's just like so charming and wonderful and kind of mousy and good looking that you're just going to love him. And I'm more neutral, I think, about Kevin Costner. So I was waiting for this movie to give me a reason to care, and I do not believe that the film does.
Oh, man. Okay, that's fascinating because that's almost the inverse of my experience with it. We've watched several Kevin Costner movies in the last few weeks, and I've seen plenty throughout the years. Fucking love Waterworld. I don't understand. Last week I said I don't understand why people like Kevin Costner. This movie I was like, oh, okay, got it. Like he's charming. He's got like a smolder. He's got a little bit of like a devil may care apathy to him that apparently plenty of women are like, I can fix him. He's cute. And I was like, okay.
I do think I agree actually with kind of both of you. The movie doesn't make him likable at all. But this is the first movie where I was like, oh, I can see why people like Kevin Costner.
Yeah, this was the one.
What was it for you, Kristen, that made you feel that way? Was it the slacks?
Yeah.
Actually, so speaking of his pants, I thought it was really funny because he has several like very insecure moments where he's like, look at how I look, I shouldn't be here, whatever. And he's right, but also I find it very funny that he dresses so much, like even like his like worst outfit is so much better than the way most people, the average person dresses today.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. I was like, this dude looks fucking great, and he's living in like a fucking trailer behind the. Well, I'm just, but like.
Oh, that's what I was going to say was, yeah, it is interesting how most of his characters have some sort of massive flaw, like they're unemployed and live in a trailer. And he pulls these like amazing, well, okay, I guess they're kind of flawed too, but he does pull these beautiful women, and I think it's really funny that like everyone could just identify with him and likes him. And I don't know exactly what it was for me in this movie, but he just seemed to embody this role a lot more. Like, I don't know, maybe he identified, maybe he was like, I don't know, homeless for a week or a month or something, and like he really identified with this character. But I feel like we got a little bit more acting from him than we normally do.
What is that? What does more acting from him look like? Like, what do you mean? Like, he had more going on behind his eyes, or you believed his line deliveries more? Like, what is it?
He disappears into his character, guys.
Wow, let's not. Okay, hold on. Let's not go that far.
Disappears is a strong word.
You quit seeing Kevin Costner and you see Roy McAvoy. Come on.
I think what it was is he just enjoyed this role a lot more. When
having
he's
fun
just,
definitely yeah. shines through.
Yeah, I think I'll he's having that. Fun okay. in this role more than just like showing up and saying lines. And I don't want to, I think he kind of does that in all of his roles. So, you know, I think he does enjoy them. He seems to pick interesting characters, you know, to some extent and all of that. But yeah, I don't know. He seemed to really enjoy this. But okay, so like when I say this is more fun, like I don't mean the movie was fun. I mean like he had moments that I was like, oh yeah, I can see why people like him.
Well, we got 1 out of 5 here, goddammit. I'm glad we we got one movie where you felt the fucking Costner smolder, Kristen.
No, but like, so before, okay, so that's a great point, Brian, because before, in order to get the charm, he has to be like on a horse with the wind blowing through his hair. And like here,
there's no horses
he can do
in this
it,
movie.
He's yeah, scrubbed. He can do it standing up. And I think that's an accomplishment. Okay, like, listen.
He can do it standing up.
Yeah, just like by himself. Like, that's amazing. You don't need like a horse to help, you know?
I agree with Jared that he disappears into the role. I mean, I think he's just, I think. He becomes Tin Cup in this movie. There's never a moment where I feel like he's acting. I think he's like flawlessly doing Tin Cup. I just don't give a shit whether he wins the U.S. Open. And like the movie seems to like really hinge on me caring or rooting for him. And at the end, I'm like, I don't care if he gets a 12 on the 18th hole or beats this jackass or not. They're just that there don't feel like there's actual emotional stakes or not. Mm. And then the, like, kind of the ending where she's like, everybody's gonna remember the weather, you did so amazing. She's like so flustered the whole movie, even though she's being an adult. Like, there, yours, you know, it's just a kind of a win, even within the you blew up and acted insane and lost. Like, I don't know. I'm like, poor Romeo, who's gonna get a shitty tip because he was an asshole at the end of the movie. Like, I don't care. I guess I was rooting. I wanted Romeo to get a better tip.
He got Kevin Costner's ex-girlfriend, or what?
Yeah, he right, did. He got, right. That's what he was wanting the whole time. You know? Would it hurt you to compliment her a little bit? Tell her she's a great dancer.
Tell her she's a great dancer. Tell the stripper, oh, your dancing is fantastic. Oh,
you're such a great dancer. Yeah.
Not just the stripper, but the one who hasn't been like a stripper. She's just been running it for a long time. So like how long has she been not actually dancing that she's like, oh my, you know.
I like the one girl that comes through and that looks just like a normal lady. Not big hair or anything. She's like, oh, girl, all right, look at me. This is what we do here. This is the makeup. You look way too normal. Yeah, the one I don't buy is Renee Russo. And I do think it's like previous roles that she was in the 90s. Like, she always plays like really smart, capable women. You think of like, what was that when she did the virus movie with fucking Dustin Hoffman?
Outbreak.
Yeah, right? You got that. You got In the Line of Fire. You got all these like back-to-back movies in the 90s. Like, even in Lethal Weapon, where she's like the love interest for Mel Gibson, she's still kicking ass.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't buy her as like kind of a ditzy chick like that. I don't see it. And maybe it's just because of her other roles in the 90s. And I don't know.
I also thought it was weird when she had that like moment of insecurity and she's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a fraud. And I was like, wait, are you? Because you can go to that's not
right. Like, oh, you're a licensed therapist. You're not just a life coach. Like,
no,
that you have to. Okay.
Yeah, no, she even was like, yeah, I got the certifications. And I was like, your job description needs more than that.
Certifications? Oh, you mean a master's and possibly a PhD? That's how she took
the
certification.
Online
like, what? Yeah.
Wait, this is before the online course.
I know. She went to like beapilot.com to become a pilot. It's some shit like that, you know.
Pilot. Is that a thing? I've been wanting to get my pilot license. And this was kind of an expensive movie too. It was like the budget was $45 million for this comedy.
Wait, what'd they spend it on?
I have no idea.
Taking over golf courses. Those are expensive.
Are they?
You would think so.
Man, I
mean,
I want to look up what the Caddyshack budget is now.
I think there was like 1 kilo of cocaine, and then that was about it.
I was, you know, this movie could have been saved if they had blown up the golf course at the end. Like in Caddyshack. That would have been a surprise. I would have been like, whoa, I did not see that coming.
The Independence aliens just come out and they just blow it up.
That would have been interesting. I'm here for that.
Was the same year as Independence Day. You know, we could have had a crossover.
Ooh.
We've had cowboys and aliens, but have we had golf and aliens?
Golf movie.
Just tee off from the White House and they'll come.
I do want to know where he got his, after he breaks all his clubs. Where does he get the golf clubs that he's playing with after that?
I wondered the same thing because the movie went to...
There's always a pro shop there.
No, well, sure, but like, how do we go through such lengths for him selling those that then buy them back for like $400 to then break them all like the next time he plays with them, and then we're just not even going to reference the fact that he got new clubs? He's just going to have them and we magically don't care?
He's been playing all the little qualifiers and stuff. I'm sure he's making little purses winning those. He has to be making money along the way.
Jared, I needed that story.
He has a lot of debt. Like, he does a lot of... I don't know that he has money. I feel like he stole them. I'd like to see how he got the clubs also.
That would have been amazing. He's going around stealing one club out of every guy's bag.
How easy is it to
He never
break a
uses
golf
this
club? Because Tin Cup apparently makes it look like they're made out of straw. Like, he just, like, snaps them all. Like, but aren't they made out of, like, graphite or titanium? Like,
I think it's a different time, you know?
Made a little different. Yeah, back then it was more like a metal type thing.
I think they used to be made out of steel. I think they were heavier and much harder.
Yeah, they're very heavy. I mean, maybe I played with fancy modern clubs, but, like, they're very... You can't do that. They're
on the
heavy.
Break, I'll go out back and break. I have some on the back porch. I'll try to snap one and see.
All right, well, that's...
I will.
I don't know if that's the best... you know, test.
I don't play. They just happen to be here.
Oh, all right. They were my dad. There's family heirloom, but you know.
Hey, it's for never letting me blow bubbles in my chocolate milk. Break.
Another amazing movie.
It's one of Brian's favorites.
That's a Hook reference, Nick.
Gotcha.
I'm not taking that bait. Not doing it. I've done it too many times. Well, we are at the 30-minute mark. You know what? Let's play the trailer. We'll center ourselves. Let's watch the trailer for Ron Shelton's Tin Cup. We'll be right back.
Waggle. Waggle it.
From the creator of Bull Durham and White Men Can't Jump.
The clubhead. Waggle the club.
Comes a story.
That's a pretty girl, man. Such an ugly swing.
About men and women and the games they play.
Remember, this game's about trust, touch, and letting go.
Hi, darling.
Hi, honey.
Oh, no, not him.
You got it bad, huh?
Something about that chick.
I take it you're a feminist.
No one's ever saddled me with that one.
Well, you might try being saddled sometime. Smell of leather, sting of a whip.
Yes! She must think I'm such a loser, lousy driving range pro.
Local legend Roy Tin Cup McAvoy, the best player to never hit the big time.
It's an easy game, this golf.
Wasn't going anywhere.
Oh. It's gotta be the woman.
I thought you said it was a virus.
Well, a woman can have the same effect.
But ever since Dr. Molly Griswold got inside his head...
I think I'm in love with you.
What?
He's been changing his whole approach.
From the moment I first saw you, I knew I was through with bar girls and strippers and motorcycle chicks and stunned, huh? Tell me you're not at least moderately attracted to me.
You have moments, Roy.
Yeah, well, you tell me which ones are my moments and I'll try and duplicate them. Just thinking about how to get in your heart.
This could take all night. It's a
come on, you guys!
You're all nuts.
Yeah.
Man, come. All right, we're back. That was the trailer for Ron Shelton's Tin Cup. And you guys are crazy. I felt the Costner smolder.
You felt the Costner.
Dude.
Okay, is it just me or were like half of those lines not in the actual movie?
Some of them were not. But most of them were. Like, at least one.
It seemed like several
one
of
wasn't.
Them. Like
one
three
was
or four.
I didn't. Yeah.
Wait, what was the line that wasn't in the movie?
I don't remember. The fucking trailer felt so long that I forgot the first bit of it, but it was in the first third of the trailer that it had a different line. It's before he does the shank shot down the line. It's the line he says that's not in the trailer is right there. Anyways, it's right there.
I'm pretty sure every one of Rene Russo's adorable, exasperated sighs is in the film, though. What are we going to do? Tin Cup. Oh.
It's a very 90s trailer. I appreciated that trailer. That trailer felt like my childhood.
what? Oh, I'm sorry, Jared. Yeah. Oh.
The trailer felt like your childhood?
It did, yeah. I don't know. That felt very comfortable to me, you know? It's a good trailer.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, Jared. I'm sorry I have to disagree with you.
I just got a little weird at the end when they start doing the montage. Got,
oh,
King
that was
Custer's
when it got weird.
That.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's good to know. Yeah, okay. That was... Yeah.
And how many trailers have used that opening music? It's just like, that's the go-to trailer music for where we're doing a quirky comedy kind of thing.
Wait, what was the music? I forgot already.
I don't know. Play it
this
again,
could,
Brian.
This could take all night.
This could take all night, yeah.
Yeah. Which they played in the goddamn movie, like, what, 3-4 times? Like, anytime somebody started kissing or something, it's like, yeah, this could take all night.
Yeah, they repeat the same songs multiple times. And even one point, the guy who's singing the song is in the fucking caravan with him.
Wait, what?
In one of the montages where they keep doing the I'm broke fucking
you're
song.
Right, you're right.
They cut
God,
in, and the guy who's actually song. Fucking singing the song is in there, and the fat dude sitting next to him like, yeah, bro. Because I thought it was him for a second, like, playing the guitar. But no, it's the fucking artist. Yeah, a little cameo. That's right.
Well, maybe that's why they played it so long, because he was excited to be in the movie and to let them have the rights to it. So
we're
like,
gonna put
well,
this movie. We're gonna put this song in here every 3 minutes, man. Don't worry.
Or they were just like, we don't have enough budget to like go get more songs for all the other needle drop moments, and they're like, we're just gonna use the same song.
Well, we already knew that it has like what it had like a $40 million budget, Brian, something like that.
45.
45.
Yeah, 45. Okay. Yeah, man, we got.
All right, I tried to give it to them, and then
they had to pay extra to use that same song over and over again.
This could take our whole budget. I guess the music was okay for the most part. I did actually like the score, like in the big, you know, emotionally rousing pieces. Yeah,
when it was actual score, it was unnoticeably decent. Like I didn't pay much attention to it. I was just like, okay, the music is doing what it's supposed to do. There were so many needle drops where I was like, oh my god, can this song please end? Jesus Christ!
No, but, man, that's supposed to make you feel good, you know.
Oh, okay.
As long as you know.
No, they didn't.
I think the word you're looking for is country music, and yeah. I disagree with your concept and your conclusion thereof.
That's what they're doing, I guess. They're playing the country music because they're in Texas. It's not.
I guess. I don't know.
They don't associate golf with country, right?
No.
That is kind of weird, right?
I thought it was weird, and also I thought they were in Texas, but when I looked it up, it said North Carolina, even though it was filmed
the
in Arizona.
The end takes place
the
at
Open.
North
the U.S.
Oh,
Open.
Okay. Because when I looked that up, I was like, wait a minute.
Especially the beginning, they use that real weird like Zydeco style, but it's not Zydeco music. I mean, Zydeco style like accordion, but it's country music with accordion, which is really weird. So is that Texas country music is with accordion? Maybe that's country western?
I don't know.
Tex-Mex.
So it's got the accordion thing going
Tex-Mex
on.
Tex-Mex country.
Yeah, yeah. It's like we put butter on our tortillas, kind of like Mexican. Yeah. that's a Texas
that
thing.
Mexicans
out.
Don't put butter on their tortillas?
I don't know, man. When I went to like a Tex-Mex restaurant in Texas, and every table had a bottle of parquet, and you're supposed to put parquet, like margarine, on your tortillas, and then roll it up, and then eat it with salsa and stuff like that. It's a thing there. It's a Texas thing.
I've been to a lot of places in Texas. I have not experienced that. That sounds fascinating.
You know what they say? Everything's bigger there.
Yeah.
They do say that.
They do.
Brian, how did the film do at the box office?
Oh, we're going there already. It did. Sure. It did all right. It came close to making some dollars. It made $53.8 million domestically. Its worldwide total was $75.8. Not exactly the box office success of Bull Durham.
Not really built for the international marketplace. You know, the golf movie set in Texas. Yeah,
I guess that's true. Is golf is that a big international sport, or is that just a...
I have no idea.
I don't know either.
Question.
I know it's big in Scotland.
Scotland, yeah. I love it.
And the only reason we know that is because James Bond played golf.
I think golf was invented in Scotland, Brian.
Oh, was it?
I think it was.
Dude, I already said I don't know shit about golf. Come on. What is your line, Jared? I don't sports.
Oh, yeah, I definitely don't sports. And the only reason I know anything about golf is because of Tin Cup and Happy Gilmore. And I've played a little bit, but not really.
It's just, that's a really boring. That's more boring than baseball to watch, I think.
Golf?
Yeah.
No, hold on.
Because it's mostly just
that
like...
That is a struggle to choose which one is more boring.
Dudes walk in, and then they get up, and then they're just like looking at the hole. They're looking at their ball. They get down on their knees. They look some more.
Are we still talking about golf?
Yeah. All right. I guess I didn't choose my words the best there. Point noted.
You know what I love is a golf video game. Like... Golf is fun, but video game golf is great. It's like very easy. It's very relaxing. You take turns. You sort of pretend you're in some tropical fun place. It's great.
I played a lot of golf video games, especially the ones in bars that like a Golden Tee. You know, you got the little ball, and you got to you got to roll it. Yeah. After a few beers, man, that one's pretty killer. Like par, got to try those nice par fours.
All right, I'll try that next time I'm at a bar. Do you guys have
this
golf?
Movie is so
game?
Good. We're talking about bar golf games instead of the film itself. But yeah,
it's golf related, Mike.
Some of those golf games have more character written into them.
That's fair. Can we talk about how this movie transitions the entire tone of the whole film as soon as they get to the actual U.S. Open? Once
serious.
We get to the third act, they're like, you know what? We're going to switch this to like feeling like you're watching golf on TV. There's going to be like 7 cameras. Everything's going to be covered. We'll have the announcers doing all the exposition dump stuff now.
I like cutting back to the director, and he's like, who is this fucking asshole?
I fucking love that. That was my favorite part of the entire fucking movie. Every time they cut into that control
drive
room.
Drive Rage Pro? What the fuck?
The TD is like, this guy's fucking, he's screwed. He's done.
Why do they hate him so much?
I think that's just control room talk. Like, that is what people who work on
he's
golf are like. They're constantly talking about that kind of shit.
But they're like, I need a hero story, and it's like, there are 5,000 extras cheering this guy on, like crying, and he's like, "Well, we need a better story to tell." And it's like, but I don't understand what the problem is in this control room. The whole movie exists because it's a good story. What are you talking about?
I think the control room is the attempt to make an antagonist level of things, because Don Johnson doesn't really quite have much to do except for just be there. And they're trying to set the stakes of some people are rooting for him and some people aren't. And what's actually going to happen? And
no,
that's
just one
that's
guy.
The attempt for it.
Even Don Johnson's kind of rooting for him at the end. It's just this one. It's just one guy who kind of looks like Abe Vigoda or whatever, sitting in a control room, is the only person in the movie who's like, I don't want this guy to win. And it's just switch the camera to him, jackass.
And what I think what would have helped that whole situation is because at the end, then they're all kind of fighting against, you got Don Johnson and you got fucking Tin Cup, and they're going against each other. But then you also got the other guy who actually ends up winning. They should have played him out a little bit more. It's kind of he becomes a nemesis there a little bit towards the end. We start shifting
Jacobson.
Our focus to there. Yeah, Pete Jacobson. If we would have got to him a little bit more, it might have built that up a little bit better. But this feels kind of a throwaway thing in there.
I think all the other golfers felt like throwaways because they all felt like cameos. I felt like at least every third person that you saw that was who's this Tin Cup guy, was supposed to be you're going to know who he is if you give a shit about golf. Ha-ha.
Yeah, but it's like in Bull Durham, those random cuts where we've cut to the other players. They give them a fucking 2-minute scene where we're supposed to learn some of how we learned about the voodoo and all that. The scenes kind of felt pointless like that. It was very little time given to this, And fuck, we're already over 2 hours, man. Let's build these characters a little
bit. Yeah, this movie felt long once we got to the golf game, especially. I mean,
golf's not the best part of the movie.
Which is saying a lot about a golf movie.
I thought it was really interesting to have this right now after Bull Durham, because Bull Durham was a baseball movie, but it's really about relationships. And I, from the point of view, especially of Susan Sarandon, and you can really, I think this movie really doesn't, it loses so much when you're like, no, let's focus on the game. And maybe this is why I don't care about sports movies, but this isn't as interesting, as fun as anything, just because it's just about a bunch of men going, how can we hit this ball? It's not interesting. How are you going to develop these characters? There's nothing to develop.
Yeah.
It also feels like the sports feel like, I'm not a golf expert, surprisingly, but it feels a little inauthentic that this, that anybody who's not literally Tiger Woods or whatever, walks onto the U.S. Open and sets the record for best score of all time, at the sport in the face of all the pros. You're just what? What am I? What is it? Be you don't walk into an Olympic event and just win. That doesn't make any sense.
But Tin Cup's a badass. He just never got there. He couldn't get over himself. Tin Cup's always been a badass. He just had to reveal himself to the world.
I mean, I know he's great with a shovel or whatever and a rake, but he just gets out there and sets the world record for best golf of all time immediately in the film. And then it just goes by. They're like, all right, that was
cool,
day one,
it?
Best golf ever. Okay, let's see how he does tomorrow. A little casual.
It's golf. They clap like this.
You gotta give him something. He's gotta win something, because he does lose the Open, so
he's gotta win something. They also need that second act finale, the classic, either he wins and it's false or he completely loses. They kind of have both of those, and then they do it again when he's fucking up that first day and he hits the 84 or whatever, so then giving him the second day and hitting the what was it, 62 or some shit like that. I think it's a valiant effort to establish that there's 4 days, this is a period of time, but man, it fucking drags. At some point you just tell me there was a second day and a third day, and let's move the fuck on. It's either important or it's not, and it feels like the film can't decide if those second and third day is important.
They should have picked a one day tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but they were building, they had to build that whole thing, you know, where, you know, he's going to take the risk. You know, his whole thing is a defining moment. He even brings it up at the beginning. He's like, you got to fucking have this defining moment, and you clutch it, you know, and he's building up to his defining moment.
Boris too many times, though, because, like, by the time it's, like, is it day three that he, like, he's like, give me the ball again. I'm gonna hit it again from here. And Cheech Marin's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I don't, you're right. That would
fuck,
be,
yeah.
That would be crazy. Why would I ever do that? I'll definitely never do that tomorrow. Like, then you got to sit there for 15 minutes while the movie goes through the, because you know that's, like, it was a little too predictable, I think. But maybe that's just because I had seen it before, like a long time ago.
I did expect him to win the first time I saw it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, really? Actually, I thought he would win too. And actually, when he's going through at the end and he's like, let me hit it again. I was like, I think did he lose? Like, I don't know much about golf, but I know that much about golf. I was like, what is
still,
he doing?
He still retained qualifier status, which is huge for him. Yeah.
Sure. That's fantastic. I'm super happy for him. But I didn't care. I was like, you lost, bro. And then everyone's excited for him. And I'm like, no, because, like, that would make me so angry. Like, if I took what? And I know it's based on a true story, but, like, he took them, like, what, 10, 12? Yeah, actually.
That thing happening.
That part. Oh, not the whole movie, but that part. Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, if I was like, no, I can do it. And then everyone, like, is like, yay, you finally did it. Like, it's just so condescending to me. Like, I don't know.
Everybody just, like, cheers.
I swear to God, guys, I can do it on the first try after the 12th try.
No, but that's his thing. He acts like whenever, like, he can't do it, he, like, acts like a child and throws a little tantrum. So I was like, this is fitting. Like, yes, but, like, what are we doing here? Didn't you learn anything? I mean, I guess you're not breaking the clubs, but, like, come on. I don't know. But everyone was happy, so
he goes
for me.
It,
it's fine.
Okay. He's one of the guys that actually goes for it. He's not all talk. He'll actually do it. He'll take you down by the river and tell you to kiss him. We're like, look, I know you're already with this other guy.
Next
I'm better.
To his van down by the river.
It was a red Cadillac, thank
you. Yeah, which was kind of sexy. What'd you think about the whole like therapy scene where he comes in and then basically like talks to her about her and then kind of breaks it on her?
I honestly felt like that was really contrived. I think that scene could have been really like nuanced and interesting, and they could have actually explored some of the complexities of the characters, and instead Rene Russo proves that she actually is completely not observant or astute in any of her interactions with him, and maybe that was the point, but that is what came across for me.
Felt very sitcom to me.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. that whole thing.
That's a good word for it.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was cute or anything. Like,
no.
I didn't, yeah.
No, yeah. It felt like it was playing to be endearing, like to warm you up to his character, because that's clearly what she's trying to do or what she's intended to do in the script. But like, it just it felt very flat and forced.
It's one of those times where I said it kind of makes it feel like the dialogue's younger than the characters.
Mm.
Well, he's a giant man.
I know. So I get it. Yeah. It just felt weird. but I guess that's, you know, the uncomfortableness of it, you know. I just want to get into your heart, in his accent, you know, he's doing. I like that he's like dressed like he's bagging groceries at a small grocery store.
That's,
you know,
exactly
like
what I was.
He's got like the
with
white
that
shirt,
weird
tucked in
short
with
sleeve
tie.
Shirt, and
yeah.
tie.
It's like the nicest thing he owns. So he's
it's
trying
so
to
fucking
dress
awkward.
Up,
yeah. Actually, I do love that. Like when he leaves that scene, and the lady's still in the exit room crying, and he goes, "You know, you're in the exit room." And she's like, "Ah!" Like, that is really funny. And then he pops back in on her. Yeah, that is that's a great beat.
That is the funniest beat in the movie. But it's also are there an exit room where you just cry after therapy? Is
and
that a thing that
like
ever existed
shit.
Anywhere ever?
Yeah, like why is that
room
the
ever?
We don't have to finish fixing the exit room. That's just where people go and like deal with their emotions after they've dealt with
hold
their
on.
Emotions. Wait,
so
what?
In small towns, no, hold on. In small towns, they do have separate entrances and exits because like therapy is supposed to be like a shameful thing, and so that way no one can see.
Well, that's why he was all sneaking to go in there. He's like, this is the door. This is the door. He didn't want anybody to know he was there.
Sneaks in through the back, looking like a Mormon missionary.
It does exactly. That's exactly what he looks like.
His bicycle.
He had to hawk that back to his ex girlfriend. I looked up $10,000 in 1995 when they shot this, and it was $25,000.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
And the $100 that he was going to get from Don Johnson was about $209. Still kind of cheap to caddy around all day.
Yeah, that is kind of
cheap.
Yeah,
man. What the fuck? Is this a real tournament or not, man?
Is it like that you have the honor of playing for us, so we're not going to pay you kind of thing?
Well, no, he was caddying for David Sims, his douchebag friend, and then he told him he'd also give him 5% of the cut if they won. And that's where he goes out and does that bet shot, you know. So, like, who takes that shot? Would David Sims' character actually get that shot as a drop in that situation? Or would they just let that, like, weird bet thing just happen?
It looked in the movie like they just let it happen. I'm sorry, I'm not tracking.
That's Don Johnson.
Don Johnson.
Completely forgot his forgettable character name. Thank you.
Asshole, you mean when golf guy, great hair.
When Tin Cup is caddying for him and then just
Let him take the shot, even though it's a televised game, you know, like everybody, you know, it's such a weird, like, why would you even, does that count as Don Johnson's shot?
It definitely doesn't, but also it probably wouldn't happen. Like,
well, his line,
like everybody, like all the other guys are all in on it. They're like, well, yeah, let's just take a break and let the caddy hit a couple shots in the middle of the tournament. Like,
yeah, but his line is like, what do you mean I'm fired? I just fucking got on the green at fucking 245, you know, like, you know, whatever he says. Like, so it seems like he's like that ball could play. I don't know. That was weird.
No, I think he was saying that because, like, you know, he did something amazing. Like, why would you fire me?
Yeah,
that was also how I read that line reading.
What did you guys think of the writing? And I'm specifically thinking of Renee Russo and some of the lines that she said. And it's not that I loved Renee Russo, like, don't get me wrong, but I, like, especially when you compare it last week with Susan Sarandon delivering her lines, she just had so much more of a, like, a whimsical nature to her. So when she said things that were so off the wall, you bought them. And when Renee Russo said them this week, I did not, and it kind of bothered me. But I thought the writing was still, I mean, it was the same guy who wrote it and directed it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is why I think it's so interesting, just kind of the shift in perspective and of who is telling the story can make such a huge difference. But yeah, what did you guys think of the writing?
I felt like most of Renee Russo's character could have been interesting. It just didn't seem to, like, ever actually line up with her as an actor. Like I could see, like, the character on the page and what Renee Russo, like, was trying to interpret it to be. It just felt like poor casting choice. Where, like, some people, you give them a character, and, like, I've heard so many directors talking about, like, oh, I wrote this thing on the page and then they did it and it was just like this totally new revelation of what I didn't expect, and, like, I really loved where it went. This just felt like she got the part and then they were like, well, I guess this will just have to work, or I don't know. It just, it confused me in several moments where it never seemed to gel in the way that Renee Russo has delivered other characters to be, you know what I mean?
There's not a lot asked of her here. Like, she spends the second half of the movie just, like, on the sidelines of the tournament going, like, and that's, like, all she did. You know what I mean? Like, there's a real opportunity here in this movie based on the trailer, which is, like, you know, it's a love story or whatever, where it's like, if they really plumbed the depth of, like, the psychological dynamic between him and this woman and how that affects his golf game, and he's like, when he's playing well, and, like, golf was a metaphor for the relationship, like, you could, like, all of that could be there. It's not, right? Like, it's just like, coincidentally, he happens to have this fling going with this, like, it overlaps for 1 second in, like, a joke where Cheech Marin's like, it's the woman who is throwing off your golf game or whatever. And, like, then, And now suddenly he can't. He's the worst golfer of all time. And then, like, it gets fixed, and once again he's the best golfer of all time. Like, it's not. That's not how relationships work. You know what I mean? Like, so this sort of metaphor,
you're not either
kind
amazing
of isn't,
or terrible. Yeah,
yeah, it's not really tracking. You know what I mean? And then and so, like, it just becomes this kind of. And now he wins the U.S. Open, like, at the end of the, or almost, or doesn't, or whatever. But it. You know, it, like, she doesn't do anything at the end. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I wanted to see more relationship dynamics. I wanted to see this movie do what Challengers did. Now, obviously, those are, like, 30 years apart and totally different, you know, situations.
Also,
but it's a love triangle.
Start making out.
I mean, there was a kind of a moment where they were like, yeah, you know.
He's like, remember back in the day?
I mean, they did that in fucking Bull Durham. Costner was like, yeah, that looks hot on you. And he's like, oh, this underwear makes me feel sexy.
Right,
like,
Rose in the front, big boy.
like there's a precedence for this. But, like, I think, I don't know if it's just they just didn't, the writing just didn't want to go there, or it didn't have the subtlety to it. I just, this movie could have been a lot more interesting if they had just actually tried some things with the relationship dynamics, and it just felt very forced and formulaic is probably a better word for it.
I think you guys are coming off of the high that was Bull Durham. And you guys aren't realizing that this is a rom-com from the 90s. You know, I think we compared it to other rom-coms of the time period it came out. I would say this has got
like what?
Really good writing.
That's what I said. You know? Formulaic, Brian.
Like what? Yeah. What do you mean like what? Oh, well, this same year, what was the number one rom-com? Jerry Maguire?
Show Me the Money.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I don't think Jerry Maguire's got anything in it that's more original or groundbreaking than this movie.
It's more memorable than this movie.
Okay, so this makes me catchphrase. Okay, I'll like give you that. Even more.
It does have catchphrases.
No, because listen, you know, when you look at something like Bull Durham, I wouldn't necessarily say that's like peak 80s rom-com. I mean, in terms of like talking about the general formula for writing a rom-com and for making a rom-com. So the fact that he made this and it's like the others, like that makes me hate this movie more, actually, because
no, I'm not saying it's like the others. I'm saying it's better than some of those other ones, you know?
So when the bar is low and you surpass that bar, you're still
it's
doing
like, it's like a,
the bar wasn't
the
low
guy,
in 96,
what
bro.
Is it? Shelton, whatever his name is, Shelton, whatever.
Ron
was
Shelton?
Like, Ron Shelton was just like, yeah, I see all these shitty movies. I can do something slightly better. Like, you know, you
okay,
used to try
that's
to make
not
a better
fair.
Movie. Like, why can't she write another good movie?
No, look, every filmmaker in their time period, when you're in a decade, that's why decades all have same, like, similar styles. Like, 80s cinema looks like 80s cinema. 90s cinema looks like 90s cinema. That's why. I mean, it's not only, like, technological advances, but there's also things in pop culture that are part of the zeitgeist that are just there. Like, you know, like, everybody's going to look back and think of, like, I don't know, the last 10 years, right? Those were the Marvel years. That's the superhero years, you know, of cinema.
No, but hold on. That's, so that's
does
why.
Does everything look like a superhero movie now?
No, because so that's why. You're right. And that's why in this movie, she's the psychiatrist and they're all kind of making fun of that. And therapy is a shameful thing.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with the writing. They could have written it better. Still could have written it better.
I mean, yeah, maybe. But no, I mean, that's the joke you make at that time. I mean,
no, I don't have a problem with his jokes. I actually thought that they handled that very well compared to a lot of other things that I've seen. That's not my complaint. My complaint is that the overall script is not good.
I didn't realize it was a rom-com till just now. Like, it's
really?
Well, I mean, I think of,
you guys didn't laugh.
I laughed. I thought it was
there
very
was
funny.
Roms way. And
you're
there was
the
coms.
But I think of a rom-com as like, there's got to be like ups and downs in this relationship and like some big misunderstanding or they get off on the wrong foot or like now
she's
they hate
the
each
wrong
other.
Guy,
or
Nick.
Now, like, I like,
that's the wrong
like,
foot.
This movie, like, she shows up and he's smoldering and she's swooning. They like each other and then they get together and then they're together at the end. Like, there's no ups and downs. Like, or if there are, they're like too light and subtle and underplayed.
Well, the ups and downs was in his golf game.
The down was him not being like a good man. And so I think that was kind of like, can he keep his temper in check and can he like get a job and make money? And
but in terms of the relationship, like, they like each other at the beginning, they like each other in the middle, and they like each other at the end.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
You know,
well, I mean, you could say that for all the characters in the movie. I mean, like Kevin Costner's character does. I mean, he even asks at the end of the movie in a very meta way, like, what did I learn from this situation? And I was like, motherfucker, yes, what did we learn? You are the same goddamn person. I thought that was hilarious, though. I laughed at that. I'm not going to ding him for that. It's like the filmmakers are like, you guys, we know. I don't know. Does your main character, are they the one that has to grow and learn? I don't know. Maybe they are.
Well, something has to change. The relationship doesn't change. The character doesn't change. But, something.
She's with Don Johnson. Now she's with Kevin Costner. Look at that change.
And he's in a better way than he was before. He's going to be able to, like, enter all the damn, he's out of his slump. Now he can actually join the pro tour next year. He can actually start doing the tour, which is better than working at the range. And he's got beautiful Rene Russo.
Well, he can't work at the range. He doesn't even own it now. Like, what if...
He makes $7 an hour there. He can work as much as he
wants.
No.
He makes more than that.
They said a couple times that they're
no, Cheech Marin was making $10 an hour. Definitely that Roy's making more than $10 an hour.
I swear to God, there was a line where he said something about like, you're
no,
making
the ball
$7
boy,
an hour.
The ball boy's
going to
make $5 an hour.
Off.
Yeah. It's a lot of money back then.
Is that?
No. It's called federal minimum wage.
No, that's more than like minimum $4 wage now. Back then.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, yeah, definitely way more. It's probably like $3 or something back then.
No, I think it's actually just been it's like $7 an hour for like 50 years.
Yeah, at least.
It was definitely $5 and $5 when I was in college.
In 1996, it was $4.75 an hour.
Damn, so the ball boy wasn't even making minimum wage.
No, no, they told him $5 now. He's making quarter more.
Texas doesn't honor the federal minimum wage.
Everything's bigger in Texas except yourself.
Except what you make. Now get out there.
An hour is bigger in Texas is the problem. So you $4.75 is just a Texas.
We solved it.
Our hours are actually 90 minutes long.
The Twins keep us on Centurion time. You'll get used to it.
Kristen, what did you think of the costumes in this luscious film?
Did you call this a luscious film?
I did. This was luscious.
Okay. I thought the costume designer did a great job, considering the material. But, yeah. Was I, inspired by anything? Not really, no. Rene Russo had some cute outfits. Kevin Costner, I do think they tried to do the bit where he, you know, doesn't wear your standard apparel to show that he's different, to show that he's poor, he's not like these other rich golfers. And the funniest part about that, which I mentioned earlier, is that he still looks nicer than most people do today. And actually, speaking of challengers, that's really what they were trying to do in that movie also with their... Mm-hmm, with mm-hmm, the, mm-hmm. And I think they pull it off a little bit better here. He doesn't look like he just threw on something from a heap in the floor. Like he looks like I'm gonna try and look nice even though this is what I've got, which I think is an interesting, I don't think that's it's not something that they really do anymore. I don't know. I liked it.
I like his high-waisted pants with like the wife beater tucked in, and he's got like an open shirt, and he's out doing his thing. He's all flowy.
That's how people used to look, though. Like, yeah,
yeah, it was good though.
Yeah,
that's a very normal look. The pleated
kind
pants.
Of like a Fear and Loathing vibe.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
Yeah, I think it worked. I think, although considering it was, I guess Texas, like that's really hot. Like you're wearing a lot of clothes for Texas. I don't know.
I mean, they might be linen pants.
They didn't look linen. No. They didn't.
No, they looked pretty linen. Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen more Bermuda shorts in this film. But other than that, yes. Approve.
There were a lot of polos.
Yeah, speaking of actually, Rene Russo had the kind of vibe that was super common in the 90s of like the woman who kind of, she doesn't really get put in her place though. They just kind of like stop writing for her. But it's the woman who's like, oh, I'm educated and I'm having a career and I look really good too. And in the 90s, they would take those women and like, they look so cute. And they would always like humiliate them in some way. And here, I guess they just stopped writing for her. But yeah, no, she has that vibe going. It works really well. It's kind of cute. And they kind of make fun of her because she buys all the golf apparel that she doesn't need. And they make her look so ridiculous. You know, but it's nice, I guess.
I did find that as an interesting, like, the fact that they brought her back around and when he's having the yips and he puts it all on to like make a joke out of it. Like that was, if you're going to do that and humiliate one of your characters and then like, it felt better that they did it for both of them where he's like, maybe it'll actually fucking work. Like it felt like a good like callback and reason to have that then there in the first place, beyond just the obvious, like, oh, she knows literally nothing about golf and she has money, but not necessarily taste. So let's see how this is going to work.
I think that was a great callback in itself to like, you've forgotten the, you know, ramshackle like hat that he was wearing.
Yeah.
But also, but at the same time, it's like, this is the low for this character of this movie as he puts on a funny hat. Like, this doesn't speak to
the
like,
he puts on
the
stuff he makes fun of the girl for wearing that he's trying to like be with.
Yeah, but then he tries to have a serious conversation with her looking through the fucking like, you know, the swinging, you know.
Oh, yeah, well. All right. We should all be so lucky that our rock bottom is putting on a hat that we made fun of someone for
using
wearing.
QVC fucking golf tip things. Yeah.
Well, let's move on to ratings. Who wants to go first? Nick, you're the guest. Do you want to go
first?
Yeah,
what's the rating system?
Oh.
Oh, here we go.
what do we do? Do we do zeros? I don't think we've ever done a zero.
Well, if this movie is like a zero, 10, Nick, right? You're an asshole.
You rate it on a scale of 10.
It's not going to be a zero. I'm not giving anything
okay.
a zero.
Okay, good. Got scared.
So 10 is good, you know, and then, you know, take off your points where you...
All right, I'm going to give it a 10. Here's the thing. It's a 10 out of 10. You should see the movie. There's only like 6 golf movies ever. Nick. You should see all of the golf movies. I realized that's all, like, you shouldn't not, there's no 0.5 to, you shouldn't not see this movie. You should see this movie. Everybody needs to see Tin Cup. I, in particular, I found it kind of boring, but like, I'm glad I watched it again. And I think everybody should.
He rates like me.
10 okay. out of 10.
So it's a perfect movie, and it's a 10 out of 10, even though you found it boring.
Everybody should see it. Everyone on the planet. How can you give it less than a 10 if I think everybody...
Oh,
I think there's
like
8
this.
Billion people I would recommend it to.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Right,
10 out of 10. This movie is perfection.
Jared, I feel like you need to go next.
Wow. I don't even know. I wasn't even going to rate it a 10, but now that I feel like I have to, you know? because when I
That's
think...
right. Let him guilty you into it.
No, yeah, he's totally... Anyways, when I think of Kevin Costner, I think of fucking Tin Cup, man. Like, I think of Tin...
What?
Brian, shut the fuck up. This is my rating. When I think of...
Nothing's free in Waterworld.
I think of Robin Hood. I think of fucking Waterworld, and I think of fucking Tin Cup, man. What, from the beginning of us even talking about Kevin Costner, what have I always said? We have to do Tin Cup, man. I don't know. I haven't seen it in years, and I will say that I saw all the boogers on it this time, but it still didn't fucking like pull me out of the movie enough to make me think that it was bad. I saw fucking Kevin Costner as goddamn Roy McAvoy out there, and I was with him every fucking step of the way. Now, I was checking my emails along the way, but that's okay, you know? Like this is one of those movies
that's
you can step in and out
if
of.
If you're on your fucking phone, it's not a goddamn good movie!
Look, I had to send some quotes on some fucking work. It's been slow, Mike! But I still enjoyed Tin Cup, man. Tin Cup is a comfort movie for me, man. I think it's really fucking great. It makes me want to go attempt to play golf, even if I have to like shoot the fucking shots in like I'm playing pool.
Listen, I will go drinking with you and also play golf while we're at it. But that is,
bro, golden tea, me and you, bro. Yeah, we're down. Let's get it.
I'm never going on that date.
You're gonna play golf with me, bro. Do crack with me, bro. Come on. Come on. Do crack with me.
No, Jared. No means no.
Wait, what did you rate it again? I'm sorry.
Bro, if Nick's at the bar, it's at a 10.
Oh my God.
That is not the way this works.
It's a childhood 10. It's a current Jared 8.
There it is. That's all I wanted to hear. Thank you.
I mean, it's the movie he thinks of when you say Kevin Costner.
No. It's definitely in my Kevin Costner thoughts. When I think of Kevin Costner, I think of fucking Tin Cup.
Hold your thoughts loose.
And this movie has one of the best fucking Cheech Marin goddamn performances you've ever fucking seen. Like, you can't say that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
Come on, man. Excellent.
Wow. I need a minute, Jesus, so somebody else go Jesus. Next.
All right. Let's start with the good parts of this movie. Cheech Marin is a shining light in this fucking movie. I liked Kevin Costner a lot in this movie. Well, let me rephrase. I understand why people like Kevin Costner a lot because of this movie. I don't think the movie is good. I think there are elements of this that are worth having seen, and that for the 90s context of 96 when it came out, I think this was probably mid even back then, maybe like moderately good. People were like, oh yeah, we saw another movie. Rene Russo doesn't have enough to do for like half of the movie. I don't think her character worked for her as an actor. I think that was a miscast person. There's fun elements to it, but I think like Nick said, there's not enough stakes for me to really care about what's going on. I liked the first two acts of the movie. I thought it was a pretty solid, like, let's use sports to give us a reason to have all these characters doing some shit. As soon as it transitioned to the US Open and it became an entirely different movie, it felt like I was watching a Golf Channel situation, which maybe works for the sake of the thing, but it's just so stylistically different that I was kind of taken out of it for the first 10 minutes, which is that entire first day. And then I realized that there was still another 30 minutes left in the movie, and I was like, holy fuck, how much more can they do? Jesus Christ. So I felt the length, which does not help this movie at all. I don't want to be too harsh overall. There's other things that kind of worked and kind of didn't, but overall it was sometimes a fun ride that was very predictable. I think it's a solid 7, you know? Like, I enjoyed watching it. I think it was worth having come out. I don't think it's a great movie by any stretch of the imagination. But it was a solid outing. 7.
7. All right. 2 10s and a 7. Kristen, you want to go next?
Yeah, sure. You know, like, this movie, I think, is one of Kevin Costner's best acted movies. And when people ask me about Kevin Costner movies, like, I don't know what to tell them. I have nothing to say, and I still kind of don't. I kind of have already forgotten everything we've done. I feel like he's very forgettable. I think he's better in this one, and that's like the best I can say here. I don't think the writing is very good, especially when we've seen other written works by this writer-director. I mean, even with Kevin Costner as like an angry man child, like, he's still like very charming and likable. Like, he's not really embodying that energy of, you know, I could have a meltdown for no reason at any point. Rene Russo is lacking in her character. She's just miscast. It looks fine. I don't know anything about golf, so all of that was completely lost on me. Maybe it was good. I don't know. I did not care about him doing anything. I would not recommend this movie to anybody. But
I feel like holy shit, Kristen.
No, would like, I guess.
Would you actively
after
not
all
recommend?
The Kevin Costner shit that we've been through, you would not recommend this fucking this film?
No.
Oh, all right, I'll shut up. I'm sorry.
Would you deter someone from watching this movie?
Yes. Yeah. If someone was like, I really want to watch a Kevin Costner movie and it's between
break
like
my
10
fucking heart.
Cup and something else, I would tell them to watch something else.
Literally anything else. It's just...
Just watch the Blair Witch Project. You'll enjoy that.
No,
more.
Okay. Like, even I like, like, if you're gonna watch like a sports Kevin Costner film, I would do Bull Durham. But I don't like. I honestly like. I'm like blanking on the other movies that we did. Like, I don't even remember. Because we watched that. Oh, Horizon. No, I wouldn't recommend that one either. And but. What was the other one? We did one more, or did we not? Did we skip it because they're so bad? Like, yeah, we skipped a week because they're not good.
We did No Way Out, and what was the first one we
no
did
Way
this
Out.
Month?
Oh, wait, oh, yeah, oh, that movie. Wait, what was that one about again? I'm being totally serious right now. I don't remember.
Wait, No Way Out? That's the spy movie where they're like, Sean Young gets murdered.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, yeah, okay, the thriller.
Absolutely.
See, that was, I would recommend that one, and... I don't remember it at all. Okay. So I was going to give...
Sean Young is absolutely gorgeous and amazing. Come on now.
Okay, so I was going to give this a 6, but I feel like in talking, I feel like I should rank it lower. So maybe I should. Maybe I should give it a 4, right? No,
damn,
that's like Matrix sequels levels. I'll give it a 5. Nah, that's like
solid.
5 is like very average. Like, this is not okay. For like, this is an average movie, but like for me, this is like below average. But like, I feel like for Kevin Costner, this is like very average. So I will stick with my 5 and be very generous. Okay,
you broke my heart, but I accept it.
For you, it's average. For Kevin Costner, it's above average. So because he's a cisgendered white everyman from middle America, he gets more points.
Listen, I don't have problems, generally speaking, with like white men, but like they do need to act if they're acting, okay? Like, if you're an actor, like, you should act, okay? Like, that's my issue
that's
here.
No, I think that's an appropriate request from him.
Yeah. That's all I want. He just kind of shows up and is like, hey, I'm Kevin Costner. And like, listen, it's okay. It's all right. Sometimes it works. But like, if you're going to make me watch a whole movie about golf, it doesn't work. Okay. You have to have more than that.
You motherfuckers are going to make me rate this a 10. God damn it.
Yes.
God damn it.
Tell me why, Brian. Give me all the reasons.
I need to know. Because it's a fine, fun rom-com. And it's a great way to kill fucking 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
You know,
nothing says ten like fine and good way to kill time.
Of course it does, Griggsy.
It's also not a rom-com.
What
but
the fuck are you guys talking
yes, it
about?
It's a
it
sports
rom-com
movie
rom-com, moments, rom-com Nick.
Whatever.
It's a relationship love triangle.
Yes, and a sports movie. Unlike Bull Durham, who didn't have the sports part.
That
you know,
was
it didn't have. We weren't, fighting for the
sports
game.
Movie without the
like
sports.
This one
that's
is fucking
so
the same
fantastic
thing, but we actually fight for the fucking
you,
game.
Nobody cares, Sean.
He didn't even win the game. Like, what are you talking about? Rooting
yes, he
for
did.
What?
He got to fuck. He fixed his fucking life. He got his fucking like. He got his. He got his like relationship life. He got this love of the game back. He's actually can go for the frickin' pro tour next year. Come on, everything's fixed.
I mean, we'll see how he is like in a whole year, but okay.
We should have a 10 cup fucking like, you know, reunion thing.
Oh
we
my
should
God.
At least do a short film.
Oh my God.
You know.
Well, let's give it enough time to at least let Brian finish his review.
I think I'm done.
10, right? All right, good.
Yeah, I don't have anything to
add. Oh my God. You're just rating a 10 out of spite, and that is brand new for you, Brian.
Well, you know what? You guys are over here talking shit. You're like, oh, hey, Kevin Costner can't act. Blah, 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 blah,
bullshit.
Blah. Did you see his fucking looks, motherfuckers? If that ain't fucking acting, that's love in that eyes, right? That's charisma. The motherfucker is beaming charisma out of his eyeballs into your fucking TV screen, and you're soaking it up, looking at him, going, oh my,
sploosh.
Or what was Susan Sarandon's line after his big speech? Whatever she says. Yeah, I'm with her.
You yeah, sure and like Bull Durham. Yeah, I agree. Yes.
Look, this, okay, this is not as good as Bull Durham, but like, you know, you can't hit a home run every single fucking movie you make, all right? You know?
Especially in a golf movie.
Exactly. You know? They needed 7 tries to get hole in one.
Can someone explain the name thing to me? I was paying attention. I've seen the movie before. I still don't understand. What does 10 cup mean?
Okay, so he was like a catcher in baseball.
He was Bull Durham.
He was Bull Durham, and he was wearing a 10 cup. And when he got hit in the balls, it made a clank. And so instead of calling him Clank, they called him 10 Cup because he gets hit in the balls so much with balls.
But it was made of 10?
Back in the day, apparently, Dick, they were made out of 10.
Wait,
I don't know.
No, I don't think I don't think the I cup thought was actually made out
but
of 10.
But like,
it
didn't
was
have
just
like a cup and a jock strap. He had like an actual like a tin like like a pewter mug that he just like put in his put over his balls.
That level of detail is not actually described in the exposition.
I thought that it was based on the phrase that he's not worth a fart in a tin cup.
What the fuck?
That is so much more
that's
interesting.
That's where the writer.
Here's the
that's
line.
What the writer says anyway.
What Shakespeare play is that from?
Oh, he God. Was a catcher on a high school baseball team. The star pitcher had a big league curve. Not all of his pitches hit Roy in the mitt. Ouch. The team thought tin cup was a whole lot better than clank. That's the line. So whatever you get out of that, that's what it means.
Yeah, I don't understand.
It's because he had a metal cup down there, Nick, and every time he got the ball hit, it made a clanko sound. And
here we go, ding.
Called him 10 cup.
When a baseball hits your pants, it clanks?
If you're wearing a cup, it does. A metal cup.
We're going to have to.
Well, I think they're trying to imply that he has balls of steel.
There's several logic things that we're going to have to experiment
back in the day, protective cups were
clubs.
Made of metal, hence the name clank or tin cup. Hence.
Oh, they were made out of metal back in the day.
A tin?
They were?
But apparently, this one says, this person says, they've been made of plastic since the 70s, so this is bullshit. Okay, so.
That's true. I was very confused by that whole.
I thought maybe just based on what you guys were saying in the movie, like he was just too poor to like go buy a cup. I don't know how much they cost, and so he used a metal cup to cover his balls. No, maybe.
Yeah, that my like the best I could get is that he had like a he was like a cowboy with like an old style steel mug from
like
the side of his
mug.
Yeah from being out on the range or whatever, and so he just shoved that over his nuts. Instead, because he couldn't afford, like, whatever normal protective gear is, right?
I think we're just writing the prequel to this movie that we need to actually
see. We want the origin story of Tim.
We could take that terrible fucking, like, his kid that was terrible in Horizon and make him a young Tin Cup.
His kid was in this movie, too.
Really?
Yeah, his fucking child and his parents are the ones that walk up to Don Johnson and ask for the autograph. And they're the ones that he yells at. Yes.
Oh, that's fucking funny, dude. You know, I wanted more out of that scene, you know.
You wanted, like, you wanted Don Johnson to just, like...
Dude, he hates old people, children, and dogs. Come on.
Yeah, and he shouts at the dog, can someone get this walking carpet out of my way?
Yeah, same dog. So, Brian, 10? What? You never
sure.
gave me a
yes, 10. Absolutely.
This is the most spiteful 10 that I do not accept.
Anything else you want to say?
No, it's absolute 10. I think we nailed it, as you say.
Breezy and predictable, Tin Cup is a likable sports comedy that benefits greatly from Kevin Costner's amiable lead performance. Rotten Tomatoes brings in Tin Cup with a 72% tomato meter and a 65% audience score because all of you fucking people are wrong.
No, Nick, that's called accurate.
And this is
correct.
Well described.
I'm starting to regret my 10 now.
No. That's why we made you go first. Appreciate that.
I didn't think two of you would join me.
That's what happens when you go first and you set precedents, you know?
You set the precedent.
I'm not a leader.
I'll stand by it and I'll defend it tooth and nail, but I regret it internally.
All right. So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @MovieCrewPod. Jared, where can our lovely audience find you, sir?
You can find me on Instagram @CheckTheGate.
Griggs, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram @GriggsyMedia. That's G-R-I-G-G-S-Y Media.
Kristen, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram @KristenMagdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And Nick, do you have a place where you could send people to go check out some more of your work?
I run the socials for the movie Hanky Panky, so we're @HankyPankyMovie on everything.
And you guys can find me on Twitter @ElkinsEdits. And we're going to close out the show tonight with a little bit of the excerpt from the soundtrack from composer William Ross. I don't have a track name because I'm just going to rip this from the movie because the soundtrack is only needle drops, unfortunately. And I am done listening to those. So enjoy.